Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Beauty Talk. We are on the line with our guest, Ray Morris. Ray, how are you? Thank you for joining us tonight.
I am fantastic. Can you hear me? Because I'm a long way away. I'm all the way in Australia. So can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Good.
Thank you for joining us. I can't remember what year it was when you were on the show for the first time, but I'm glad that you're back on with us. And why don't you reintroduce yourself to our listening audience and let them know who you are?
Okay, well, my name is Ray Morris. I'm not a boy, because a lot of people think my name being Ray, I'm a boy, but I'm not. And I'm a makeup artist, and I work all around the world. I'm from Sydney, Australia, but I do work quite a little bit in New York and a little bit in Paris and a little bit here, a little bit there. And I'm what you call an editorial makeup artist. So what that means is I work mainly for fashion magazines. So the main magazines I work for are Harper's Vogue, a bit of Marie Claire, a bit of Elle, and I do a little bit of celebrity work. That's my choice. I could do more if I wanted to, but it's not my favorite thing. But I'm mainly known for what they call macro beauty. So anything that's really close and tight. So if they're going to like launch a mascara or lip, or so I'm known for the really, really tight sort of macro beauty shots. That's very attention to detail. So that's what I am. I'm editorial makeup. But I don't do movies and I don't do special effects, but I don't have the patience to do that. I think they're amazing artists, but it's not what I do.
Right. Right. What inspired you to become a makeup artist?
It's kind of a funny story. It actually has to do with David Bowie and Naomi Campbell. And I wish I was – that sounds like I'm making it up, but it's actually true. I was a hairdresser. I never thought I would become a makeup artist. I never thought I was good. I wasn't that kid that painted or was very artistic at school. I failed school. I was dyslexic. I didn't do very well. So I became a hairdresser, and it was fate. I always say it's 1 minute of Naomi Campbell's life that completely changed mine, and she'll never remember it. But I was backstage doing hair at a beauty pageant, and Naomi's makeup artist had walked out or something. So a bit of drama, something happened. And she asked me to do her lips, and I'd never done makeup before in my life. I was there as a hairdresser. And I touched her lips, and at that moment, fate came in the name of paparazzi, and photographs happened, and unfortunately, it was before Instagram. Actually, it was before the internet. How funny. That's how old I am. That I was photographed putting lipstick on her. Then I started to get booked as an international makeup artist. I was a bit of a fraud. So pretty much a big lie made my career happen, and then I had to live up to that lie. So then I was, so I was very lucky to meet David Bowie's makeup artist, who's actually Australian, and he taught me. So I went under his wing, and there you go. That's how it all happened. So thank you, Naomi.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I mean, who could have dreamt of a better way to break into a wonderful career?
it's funny, you know, because I think I feel sorry for some people who wait for the confidence, because I know so many, like, top, like, even famous makeup artists you would definitely know, who tell me that they feel they're a fraud, or they're not as good as what they think they are, or this is their last job. And I sort of, that's me too. I'm quite an insecure makeup artist. I think that's what pushes me. But I think if that fate didn't happen, I don't know whether I would have ended up doing it. I don't think I would have had the confidence. So I kind of feel it's a great story, but it's also a scary story, because a lot of people can make up things and go, yeah, I can do this, but, you know, not everyone lives up to it or follows through. And I had to follow through, because I told this grand story that I was this famous makeup artist because of pictures of me and Naomi, but then I actually got booked on jobs, so I had to learn really quick. So, yeah, thank goodness I practiced and I'm okay at it. I think at least, you know, if I didn't have any talent, I probably wouldn't have made it. So in there somewhere, there's got to be a bit of talent. So I'm grateful for that.
Right. Absolutely. So at what point did you start to feel confident?
I still don't. And I'm really honest. And my husband hates when I say this. And a lot of people, when I speak to editors, they go, you know, you've got to be really confident. And it's not true. I'm nervous every single job, and the reason I worked this out recently, and the reason for it is, when you work with, say, celebrities, people say to me, oh my goodness, like, I've worked with Pink many a time, she's coming back to Australia, I love her. Actually, I'm actually doing Kelly Rowland, I think, tomorrow or next few days. I love her, and I've worked with her before as well. And people say to me, oh, it must be so exciting. And I go, no, it's actually really nerve-wracking. And what it is, it's not the celebrity that you're nervous of, it's knowing the world's best makeup artists have also done their face. So when you do Pink or Kelly, you know Pat McGrath has done their makeup, you know Peter Phillips, so you know they're always going to be comparing you with other artists. And look, I'm a very, yeah, I never feel I'm good enough. And I think as other makeup artists will relate to this, when you're at a job, you're the first person to do something. So, you know, the stylist comes second, hair comes second, the photography comes after, but everyone's watching to see what their makeup looks like. And
right.
People say don't take it personally, but well, you have to, because you chose to do that red lip or so I'm nervous every job, even if it's a wedding, even if it's a, you know, I am every job. I just want to be so good, and I want to make sure. And also, too, you can be really good, but it's a personal taste as well. You know, there's so much more involved than just doing a great eyeliner, you know?
Exactly. Absolutely. What do you think, Ray, makes a great makeup artist? What kind of qualities should they have?
I love this question. Okay, so technical ability definitely is probably a big part of it, but definitely not the most important. I have seen makeup artists that I don't consider technically amazing become superstars. And there is so much more to becoming a makeup artist. There is so much more. You have to have an extreme, extreme sensitivity and empathy to other people. Know when to speak, know when not to speak, know when to take the lead, know when to shut your mouth. Also, there's so much involved. Example, like if you're working for a client, you've got to wear different hats. Like, you know, what kind of client buys that? Say, for example, the makeup you would do for a Zara campaign would be so different to a makeup you do for Victoria's Secret's campaign. And it's about having no ego. And I think that's probably the number one quality. It's being really humble. I look at artists, you know, like Diane Kendall, like Kabuki. These are no ego, who are technically amazing. And I think being able to take a back step, or knowing when it's not about the makeup, it's more about the hair, or it's just having that ability not to be, it's all about this and it's all about me. And also, too, having a really eye to making women look beautiful. And this is the difference. I say this to when I'm teaching. Makeup can be brilliant, but it's got to make the woman look more beautiful. So you can do the best makeup in the world, but does it make her look more feminine, more attractive, more youthful? And that's where I feel great makeup goes against good makeup. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be wearing the makeup, not the makeup wearing you, if that makes sense. That's why I love the aesthetic of makeup you see on a red carpet or in a Vogue magazine. I'm not into the Instagram kind of that typical baking. That's just not my aesthetic, and I appreciate it, but I just don't love that aesthetic.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should say that, because when you just made the statement about makeup should make a woman look more beautiful, that was the first thing I thought about, was really the amount of makeup that's being used when you look on Instagram.
Oh, it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening. And having a child, and what makes it really sad for me is, like, I think we, you know, women can be really insecure, and this to me makes women more insecure, because what it does, it's
right.
kind of like a feminine version of a bit of like drag makeup. The whole thing is, I'm noticing the most popular girls are the girls that can make themselves look so different to what
mm-hmm.
they are. So I think then they go into the world with this face of this mask that is pretty much can be as thick as drag makeup at times. I'm not saying everyone's like that, but there's you know what I'm talking about. And then women, I feel, they're more insecure about looking about them real. So, I mean, I'd love to see a great trend in Instagram makeup about who can do a makeup before they've got no makeup on. I really think that would be a beautiful thing to see. And, you know, I makeup for me is not just about the face, but how what you're projecting to the world. And also, I think it's important to be attractive to women, not to men. I think when you do your makeup, there's a very different aesthetic, and it's your taste. I mean, taste is so important in being a great makeup artist. What is your taste? And I'm all about, I'd like a woman to find it attractive, not just men, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. Now, Ray, I heard you mention earlier, you know, when your experience with Naomi and your picture being taken, this was before internet. So now that we have the internet and it's so full of information, and we, like my sister just mentioned, social media, what do you think about social media, and how has it changed anything that you've done in your career? Has it helped your career? Do you even give it any thought or really care about social media?
It's funny. I'm supposed to say, yeah, I'm really bad. This is what I think. I think what it's done, it's separated the industry in a good way, because you've got a very Instagram kind of world, and I love the fact that exists. I love the fact there's girls that they're teaching real women real facts about makeup, and I love that. But also separating it from the fashion, which I think is a really good thing. It really splits us up and puts it more of a barrier between kind of fashion editorial, you know, the ones that work and do different faces all day, every day, opposed to a girl who does her own face. Don't get me wrong, I think they both have as much to bring to the world. I love how even my mum is into makeup, or my cousins who never would wear makeup are so into it, because Instagram really helps bridge that gap. I love that. The only thing I do feel it's damaging a few careers, especially in my world. I'll tell you why, because in my world, when you're doing like the high-end beauty editorial stuff, you're basically, you know, I feel in the fashion world, it's the best honor, it's the best makeup, you know, that you can do when you work for Vogue or celebrities or Harper's or whatever. But what happens with Instagram now, when you put a picture out to the world, what you're saying to the world is, I think this is beautiful. And what's happening is, you've got to be very careful with what you post now. I think that's where Instagram's really changing. So, for example, when you put a picture out there, you're saying, I think this is perfection. And as a makeup artist, a lot of makeup artists, you know, they didn't do the hair, they didn't do the styling, they didn't choose a model, they didn't take the photo, but the makeup's so great. So they put these photos out there, and what it's showing to a lot of clients is, you're all about the makeup, but you're not about the image, you're not about making that girl look beautiful. Or I think, what I'm trying to say is that it's, what you put out there says a lot more about you than what you realize. And a lot of makeup artists are losing jobs because of it, because they're not thinking about clients are potentially looking at their work. Even celebrities, some celebrities told me they won't book artists who are heavy social media because they're worried about privacy. So, look, it's a great, there's good and bad. I think it's an awesome thing. I love the fact that if a new lipstick comes out, it's amazing. Millions of people know about it overnight. Hey, I have brushes. I have a makeup book. Social media definitely helps. But also, it's harder because there's so much free information out there now that people don't want to pay for anything. So there's a give and take in all of it. I definitely think there's more benefits. Sorry, I can talk until the cows come home. You can tell me to shut up. There's definitely both sides of it, but I'm seeing a little bit more negative in the fashion world because people aren't being very careful with the images. It's got to be. My point is, if you're going to put an image out there and you want to do high-end vocab, all that kind of stuff, everything in that image has got to be perfect. Hair, the model choice, because you're not there to defend it. You're not there to say, but I didn't choose the dress. And also it tells a lot about who you are as an artist.
Yes. Well, besides social media, what other changes have you noticed about the beauty business since you started?
Great question. Okay, first of all, a lot of teenagers are walking around wearing a lot more makeup than ever before. I have noticed, probably the sad thing I've noticed, it's all about how many followers people have. I find that really interesting. Like if I go to work and there's an assistant or people on the team, the first question they get, hi, what's your name? Mm-hmm. Oh, how many followers do you have? It's really embarrassing. I really hate that part. I think that, the decline of paper magazines, that's a little bit sad, but everything is going more online.
Yeah.
But funny to me, it's interesting. I think what I love about social media, our world's kind of protected because you can do amazing makeup on yourself all day, every day, and get millions of followers and be very successful. But it doesn't mean you can then go and do makeup on a 40-year-old or an actress. It's a very different craft when you're doing makeup on every different faces, when you're working, you've got to direct teams, you've got to work with clients, you've got to work locations, different countries, different cultures. What I love is I feel our industry, the smaller editorial fashion world, hasn't changed as much because I don't think the Instagram world can become our world. Sure, there's clients who want to book artists who've got more followers. I get all that. That's always going to happen, and I think that's fine. But for me, I thought about this question because I've been asked this once before, and I thought, actually, do I do anything differently? No. The only thing I do differently is I have to stop the younger generation photographing everything because for me, as a celebrity makeup artist, to me, I want to protect the celebrity. There's got to be privacy. I don't want to be that person. If you look at my Instagram, you do not see me with very many celebrities. I purposely don't do it because I don't want artists to feel that's the art. I'm there for them, not for me. I might not shine as bright in the social media world, but I do that to protect my own clientele and what I do for a living. I think the minute I start pumping that out there constantly, I think you might lose a bit of respect. I don't know. That's just my take.
Right. I definitely understand that, definitely.
And look, it could be my insecurity. It could be, sorry, I was going to say, it could be my, I don't want celebrities to feel that's all about me, and maybe they won't mind, but I just want to feel that when I turn up to be with someone, they know that I'm not there. Like, okay, but give you one more quick example. When I do fashion weeks, my whole makeup team, I tell them to wear as little makeup as possible because it's not about you. It's not about you. Got to be a blank canvas. It's not about you. I want you to take a back step, and it's about the model or the celebrity that you're working with. And if you have a blank canvas, people don't know what you're capable of. So it's great. It's a great weapon not to wear makeup.
Right. I totally agree with that. But what about those artists out there who feel like if I don't wear makeup, people aren't going to take me seriously as a makeup artist? How do you get around that?
I think the opposite. Easy. You know what I'd say to that? Okay, look at Pat McGrath. Look at Ireland. Look at Lucia. Look at besides Charlotte Tilbury, I think I don't see makeup artists that wear makeup, and it's funny. I've got these new little breed assistants that are into the Instagram face. They turn up with more makeup on their face, and I took them to Fashion Week, and it was interesting. All three girls were there. At the end of the day, they were like, oh my God, now I get it. Yep, and you know what? It's funny. When I worked in Paris, I lived with Suzanne Venegas, who's the head designer of Dior. It worked just under John Galliano, and it was so interesting to see all the best stylists and the designers and the best hairdressers. First of all, most of the male hairdressers were bald. A lot of old, because age is really embraced in Europe as an artist. You rarely see makeup on a team, and I think I feel it can go against you. So, for example, if you're working with a client who's all, you don't know what their client aesthetic is, they're about earthy naturalness, and you turn up with an Instagram face, they instantly think, they judge you, most people do automatically, they don't mean to, and they think that's your aesthetic, that's what you're going to do to someone. You know what? If you play it down and wear no makeup, they don't know what you're capable of. And the only time wearing a lot of makeup, I think, works in your favor is if the client you're doing wants the same thing. But it's harder for women. Men find it easier. Women, men don't have as many itches. A lot of females, the bigger the ego, sometimes the less women want to work with women makeup artists. It's a fact. The most insecure women I work with find it very hard to work with women. They'd rather a man. And because a man comes as a blank canvas, there's no judgment, there's no jealousy, there's no competition, there's no nothing. So I've learned working with celebrities, the more insecure they are, the more I dress down. I know you can go, but you shouldn't have. I only work with them once. I've got 4 hours to win them over. I don't have the weeks to battle them. It's not about me winning. My husband always says to me, do you want to be rich or do you want to be right? And I'm like, you know what? There's something in that. I think don't get caught up and just say, name the top 50 makeup artists and see how many of them actually wear makeup.
Right. Right. I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, for me, less on me is best.
And also, you know, also, too, the message can be that you worry too much about yourself. It actually can. Sometimes I see girls who wear a lot of makeup. So I see some of the creative expression, yes, but a lot of times it's an insecurity. You know, once you get to know the girls and you find that they don't like their skin or they're really nervous, it's an insecure thing. And as a makeup artist, you don't want people to think you're insecure about how you look. That's one thing you can't see. It actually takes a lot more guts to wear nothing, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I know with my sister and I, we work on.
You have to.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. My sister and I, we both work a lot with film and television. And, you know, for a while on this one particular show that we're working on, you know, I mean, I would wear, you know, the bare minimal, not a whole lot of anything. And I remember, because sometimes we notice how the actresses, they look at each other and see how, you know, the other one's looking with their makeup on, and they kind of, you know, they kind of want you to do a little of the same thing, you know, that kind of thing. And then I remember one particular actress that I would do, you know, like I said, I didn't wear much at all. Well, one day I decided I'm going to do a little something, and I put on some lashes and, you know, maybe a bold lip or something like that. And she stared at me the whole entire day. She's on set, and I can, and I'm all the way on another side, and I can see her looking at me, and I'm saying to myself, I just put on lashes. What's the big deal? But I'm like, you know, sometimes they don't want you looking better than them.
Yep.
So that's
really sad. Yeah. It's so funny. The thing is, we're women, and not a lot of men listening will understand what we're saying here, but women can have a very nasty undertone. It's very subtle. And you know what? I just think, I'm going to let you win that battle. And sure, I can dress up and I can do all that, but you know what? I know my job. And I feel sometimes makeup can put a barrier between people. I know it shouldn't. But it just does. And this is what, going back to your question, what makes a great makeup artist? It's the fact that you picked up on that, the fact that you noticed a shift, because isn't it interesting? It's so interesting, and it's so awesome that you picked that up, because a lot of girls come to work and they just look hot. Oh, my God. See, I'm not that insecure. So I think, you know, girls come in here and they look absolutely, and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But I can see the other girls get a little bit uncomfortable, and it's really sad. So. I just decided, my husband says that I like to dress like I've just gotten out of jail. And I'm like, okay, I'll go with that, thanks. they actually says a drug addict, homeless drug addict that just got out of jail. And I'm like, great, thanks, babe.
So,
let's be real.
Speaking of your husband, I know you have a child. How do you balance it all, work and family?
Oh, I don't. it's funny. I just don't. That's a great question. I'm one of these mothers. I'm the first time mother. For anyone out there listening, I'm not one of these mothers. Like, oh my God, isn't it amazing? It's the best. No, it is the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with in my life. I thought Fashion Week running, you know, I'm doing my 120th show next week. I start, and I've technically done my 120th fashion. You know what? Fashion Week is easier than a two-year-old. It is so hard. I had no idea. I used to sit there and think, mums who sat at home and mums were lazy, and I thought, I work so hard. This is going to be so easy. I can't. The amount of times I have just cried and gone, this is too hard. Then I think single mothers. Then I think, oh, my God, mothers of twins. Then I think, holy hell. So when I say manage it, it takes a tribe, and a friend said to me once, tribe, isn't it? It takes a lot of family. I don't have a lot of family. A friend of mine said, if you don't have a tribe, buy one. So I didn't want to have a child and then go back to work full time. I just didn't. So what I've done is how I balance it, I work very selective. So it's one or two jobs, but I make sure they're the best jobs ever a week. If I have to go away for jobs, I will spend an extra week. My husband, thank God, he can work from anywhere around the world. He can work anywhere. So he and baby comes with us. So, but it's not easy. I have an agent as well. I have a very supportive husband. So I honestly say it's really hard. I used to frown upon people that would have babies and just go and work. And I thought, oh my God, work's the easiest thing in the world. There was days, I hope my husband never heard this, but there was days where I had like a 9 o'clock start, but I would lie to my husband and say it was a 6 a.m. start so I could go to work and have a sleep. I would go and sleep. But I knew he's got like Find My Friends on the iPhone, so he always knows where I am. So I had to make sure I slept outside the studio where I was working. Oh, my goodness. And then if I finished early, I'll go, yeah, babe, I just have to do some like research and interviews. Well, I had slept. He never picked up why there was a blanket and a pillow in the back of the car. He never picked that up. So it is. But I've also noticed there's mothers out there who have babies who sleep, and there's mothers out there who have babies who don't sleep. Don't talk to each other. You have no interest. You have nothing in common. I have a baby that doesn't sleep. I don't want to hear about your sleeping child. I'm not interested. So, look, it's very, very hard. I don't – if my husband worked full-time, things would be very different. And I'd probably have to put my career on hold. I hate saying that, but it would be too hard. I don't know how people do it.
Wow.
So I just shattered the dreams of all those pregnant wannabe makeup artists. I'm going to be real. No one was real with me. I'm going to be real with people and go, hey, listen, if you want to have a baby and you've never had a baby, if you've never been around children before, go and spend a month at someone's house who has a newborn. That's all I say. And it's funny, my husband and child have just walked in the door, but I'm going to start. Hi. So as I'm on live radio, my husband and daughter have just walked in the door. But I'm here. I'm back with you. I just said hello, but I'm here. Hi, Denise.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, and I know it, you don't balance. You can't balance at all, and it's hard. But as bad as it sounds, I like to hear people when they say that and when they're honest and when they're real with people, because people think that this is such a glamorous business and, you know, you're going to go in and achieve all of these things and it's going to be so easy, and it's not. And both my sister and I, we don't have children. We're not married.
Oh, God.
We work often, and it's very hard to work on film sets long hours and then manage, you know, our makeup studio and the other things that we're doing in beauty, even this radio show. It's hard.
My hat, I mean, I think film would be even harder. I think of that, my good. See, the good thing where it is a great career if you're a mum is the fact that you can choose your hours. You can decide when you work and when you don't work. And when you are at home with a baby, you tell me you do want to go to work. You do need adult company and adult conversation. And, I mean, there's daycares and all that as well. We didn't do that with our daughter until she was just over two. So we worked from home. So it was very challenging because my husband runs a company. I'm doing makeup, and I like being real. My husband actually pulls me up and says, "Will you stop frightening pregnant women?" Because I'm the first person that says, "Oh, you have no idea. You're never going to sleep again, and and it's the hardest thing in the whole world." And you know, I'm kind of really honest. But yes, it's definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. Rewarding, but it wasn't. Well, from day one, I think I was in a daze for the first year. Like, I had people knocking on my doors in the car because I'd fall asleep at traffic lights. That's the tiredness I'm talking. But now it's great. And, you know, I love the fact that she plays with makeup now. And I get a lot of inspiration from her finger painting. And I give her, like, my makeup forever, the grease palette, and just let her go for it. The fun thing, too, because my husband's quite clean and comes from a military family where things organized. And here's me with my daughter's paints, and I give her brushes, and we just paint each other. And the inspiration's been, I did a shoot, actually. I put it up on Instagram about 2 days ago. It does look like a bit of a mess, but that was the idea. And I got those ideas from my daughter putting Band-Aids and paint all over my face. And I went, oh, there's something in that. Let's go with it. So, you know, great things come out of all sorts of chaos.
Right. Right. Now, Ray, I don't want to hold you long because I know you're calling from Australia, but I wanted to touch on two things quickly before you got off the call. And that is, one, your latest book, Masterclass.
Yes.
And then I want to
came onto the set.
You say that again?
Do you remember that you came and visited? Didn't you visit me on that book? Is that the one that you came and visited me when we were shooting at Gavin's studio?
No, that wasn't me.
I thought you came and visited me on that one. Why? Can't remember when I saw you last, but I thought it was there. There you go. See, that's what mother brain does.
Yeah,
I saw
you was at IMAX.
Oh,
IMAX LA.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes. It was. That's right. I remember now.
And
so
then I want to also talk
about the latest book.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, how many do you have now? Because I can't keep up.
I've previously had written 3 books, but they turned 3 into 5. So they did, like, I always say I only write 3 books, but the publisher likes to put a spin on everything and say it's 5. It's 3, but we did pocket versions, so that's why it looks like there's 5, but I've written 3. But then I've written my 4th book, so Masterclass, Makeup Masterclass, is my book I've just written. So that's the one, the last. So I've technically done 4.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And this is so how it's different too. Like, so my first book, I mean, I never expected the success of that. Like, I mean, in Australia, it's still the highest beauty book ever. It went bestseller 12 times. It's been used in 13 makeup schools as their training curriculum. I know Body Shop Worldwide used it as their training manual. So it's so great that it was that first book that kind of crossed makeup artist to consumer, again, before Instagram and all that stuff happened. And then the second one was about fashion, and that went bestseller, I think, 4 times. And then I did one on women over 40 called Timeless Makeup because I worked with Cyndi Lauper, funny enough, and she, oh, my goodness, she taught me a few things, that woman. She's amazing. So I thought, I have to write a book about this, so I did that one. But this one, I always say to people, just burn the other 3 because it's everything I've learned since. But where this book is so different, it's 400 pages. Proceeds go to charity, which is awesome. But the main, how this book is different, and there is nothing like this in the world, it's taught from a scientific point of view. And what's so fascinating, there's actually a science to beauty, and it's called PHI, P-H-I, or also known as the Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden ratio. And this is what's so fascinating, that in our brains, so what PHI is, it's a mathematical equation that looks like 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + it's a code, I won't go into it, you can all Google it later. The plastic surgeons use this exact formula to teach plastic surgeons universally around the world. And how I know about this is I've been lucky enough to work with plastic surgeons in an educational platform, teaching doctors how to make women look more age appropriate, because I think what they've been doing is making women look pretty, anyway, that's another conversation. not so good. Anyway, so I kept hearing this word Fibonacci. That's a mathematical equation. How is this for a fact that in our brains, it's a scientific fact that we will find a face that is, we'll find a face no matter our age, race, or gender. If that face has a phi measurement, we will find it more attractive. So much so that in tribes, babies that were born or children that have the faces that measure a phi measurement survives. So this is not some hocus pocus fashion. This is an absolute fact. And if you go back and look at things that have a perfect phi measurement, let's look at faces like Angelina Jolie, Marilyn Monroe, Brad Pitt, Tutankhamun, the Leonardo da Vinci. Every Leonardo da Vinci painting has a phi measurement. The pyramids have a phi measurement. And I started to think about this. I thought, if there's a universal beauty, that means makeup. So anyway, what I did is I went back and I looked at all the most iconic makeups, makeups that no matter your race, age, or gender, we find more attractive. So, for example, you know, the Egyptian makeup, or even Kim Kardashian's makeup, Marilyn Monroe's makeup, and I've got a tape measure out, and I measured it, and the eye makeup measured phi every single time, and I thought, oh, hang on, and this will make sense in a minute. And then I went through my celebrities, and I went through celebrities I've worked with extensively, and I picked out makeup that they told me was their absolutely favorite makeup they've ever had. I got my tape measure, it measured the mathematical phi measurement exactly. So This is the shorter version. I can teach you how to do an eyeliner. I can teach you how to do a smoky eye. But an eyeliner can be the worst thing you do to a rounded eye because it makes it droop. A smoky eye can be the worst thing you do to a hooded, sunken eye because it will make it more sunken. So what I've done in this book is I've made it very simple. I teach you the fine measurement of your eye. So whenever you now go and do a makeup, I've taught you how to alter it to make your eyes look more Egyptian, because that is universally what a woman wants. They want their eyes to look like Egyptian goddesses. For the new young kids or the teenagers around, I say, okay, Kim Kardashian eye shape, that Persian Egyptian eye is what all women want, no matter age, race, or gender. So what this book does, it gives you a full science behind beauty, which I think is a really powerful tool, and also stops that question of, yeah, but that doesn't suit me, because you can't have that conversation with me now, because I've gone, no, it's a very simple way, like a little thing with eyeliner. When you're doing a flick, when you're doing that cat eye flick, that flick on the end needs to be parallel to the highest point of your eyelid. It sounds a bit complicated when you don't have the visual. But then I did a really affordable iPad app, and that's available at the iTunes store. You just go to raymorris.com. And because my husband's right here, babe, what's the iTunes app? How much does that sell for? It's like $2. We've made it really, really affordable. So, and the iPad app not only is the whole book, it's 3 hours of videos. And you've got to screen the videos like you do Netflix. Yeah, and then there's an iPhone app. It's even cheaper, and that's not the so that is the videos, and with just the or the important parts of the book. And we've had Vanity Fair write give us praises. I've had a call back from the Ellen DeGeneres show. That's a bit exciting. We've had it. Yeah, the reviews have been amazing. So I'm very proud. So yeah, Ray Morris Masterclass, and it's available at Beautylish in America. For quicker delivery, or on my website, which is Ray Morris, Ray with an E, RayMorris.com.
All right. And then you were talking a little bit.
Was that like the longest answer you ever expected?
We were talking a little bit before the show started, and you were telling me that you were coming back to the U.S. soon. And tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing on that trip.
This is actually an exclusive visual for First to Know. As most people know, I invented the world's first magnetic makeup brush range, which has done incredibly well. But now, because I've had so many people copying me, I had two choices. One, sue people, or two, up the game and make it something that is uncopyable. So what I've done is I have moved, all my brushes are now made in Japan, and they're made by the world's best, he's a master of calligraphy brushes. So in Japan, there's only ever been 22 people ever awarded a master of craft, and the man who owns Koyota, who owns the brush company, he's got three living masters working for his family business. He's never made brushes for anyone outside their own family, outside their own group, and I'm the first person. It took me 2 years to get them to do it. So it's basic. So now the brushes are lighter, they're more refined, still the same shape, because that to me are the most, like, that hasn't changed. I've made some new shapes, but basically we have just up the level of hairbrush quality is just, I know I can go to sleep at night saying these are the world's best brushes, and no one can claim that, but I can. And also they're the world's first Japanese brushes that have a magnet in them. So, yeah, I'm very, very proud of that. And China Vogue, I mean, they voted my last brush range, and they put mine in the top two in the world, and USA Harper's put them in the top 10. So now I'd love to see, no one has seen them yet, but they're going to be available, we think, in about 8 weeks. And I'm going to launch it in America. So I'm going to launch it with Beautylish. And, yeah, so I'm going to come and spend a bit more time there in hopefully about 8 weeks. We've just got to wait for some final products. But, yeah, probably about 8 weeks. I'm looking at my partner in crime here. Is that right?
Earlier.
Oh, you said earlier. There you go. So maybe a little bit earlier.
All right. That sounds wonderful.
So I will make I'm going to wrap a little gift just for you, Denise, and I'll make sure that you've heard it here first. I'm going to make sure you're going to get some of the first brushes that get sent out. You've heard it here first.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. So are you going to do any trade shows here in the U.S. anytime soon?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I love doing IMAX. I just come to IMAX to hang out. People think I come there just to speak. No, that's sort of, I come there to hang with all my friends, because people don't realize that a lot of us makeup artists are really good friends. We're actually, some of my closest friends are makeup artists, and the only time we get to see each other is at IMAX. So they always ask me, they're very, very kind and ask me each time. So I'm going to say yes. I just haven't looked that far. Because the divine Kelly Rowland is in Australia at the moment, and she's got me working for the money. So, or looking hard for the money, I should say. I'm booked out for her for about 3 months. So it depends on her schedule. But I will 99% chance say I'll be there. When is IMAX anyway? When is the next? Sydney's
July.
When do we have it in when's Toronto, LA, and New York, I think? I'm normally at Auckland,
London.
So.
LA was January, and then I think New York is
London
lovely.
Now, I think.
London
and then London.
In
London is May.
May
20th, I think.
So when's New York? April?
New York is, I believe,
sorry,
April.
I was getting you to like be my assistant in Google Dates to be on the, do my schedule for me live on the radio. That's awesome. But yeah, no, look, I'm 100% sure you can't keep me away from my mat. It's just not possible.
April, let's see.
Yeah, March, April. Yeah, we'll be there. I'm looking at my husband. Yeah. I'm just nodding at him. We will be there.
Yeah, April 7th through the 9th.
Oh, my goodness. I was at the last IMAX, and it was supposed to be spring. I had to go and buy, I bought a battery-operated jacket because it was like minus 2. I don't know what that is in your temperature because we're in Celsius, but it was snowing. Mm-hmm. And I went and bought this jacket, and people were laughing at me. But guess what? They weren't laughing when they saw me in, like, the warmest, coziest jacket. It's this jacket, and you press a button, and it's so hot, like a summer's day in Australia, for 4 hours. And then you just recharge your battery on your laptop. So you will see me there. You'll want to see my eyeballs. I'm not good at cold at all. I'm just bad. So if you see this person, all you can see is eyes, that's probably me.
Oh, my goodness. Ray, is there anything you haven't accomplished in your career that you would like to accomplish?
It just doesn't stop. I could list 100 things. Look, I mean, directing shows. I mean, I'd love to direct a show in Paris. That would be amazing. That would just be, one of my favorite things to do in the world. There's a few celebrities. I'd love to work for Angelina Jolie. I haven't, but I just think her face is incredible. Oh, my goodness, there's so many. I haven't done an American Vogue cover. That's definitely on the dream list, but I've got to be in America. There's hundreds. I mean, look, the good thing for me, though, too, because I never thought I could be a makeup artist, I never dreamt of being it as a kid. I never thought it was going to be my thing. And I think it's a bit sad for people who that's all they've ever wanted. And if they don't tick all those boxes, they get disappointed. Where for me, I can't believe I've done what I've already done. Like, I just go, when people say, oh, Ray, best-selling author, I'm like, hang on, I'm dyslexic and I've failed school. And I forget people are talking to me. I just don't, doesn't, still doesn't gel in my head, because I'm this little kid from, like, I don't know how you'd say it in your terms, but I'm from, like, I think trailer park is probably the word. Yeah, we grew up in, my dad was a builder and my mum was a bodybuilder in the fitness, and we just grew up in this real redneck kind of area, and I wanted not to be like that. And so, yeah, there's so many things that I would, of course, I would love to do, but honestly, if someone told me when I was 15 that I'd be doing what I'd done, I'd never believed it. So I'm really grateful, and I think that's something I never want to lose sight of. That how, I mean, that's probably what the insecurity is too. I think every job's my last job, and no one's ever going to book me again. And that's probably what pushes me and why I try and be so focused. And I'm not what the social media stuff I don't think about because I'm too worried about never working again. But I think that's an insecurity so many of us make up out of share. So, yeah, there is a lot that I want to do. There's also so much I'm so grateful for.
Now, Ray, what kind of advice would you give makeup artists who decided they wanted a career, doing, yep. Working on magazines, doing makeup for magazines?
Okay. There's a really simple, clear thing. One, you can't be motivated about the money. And you've got to ask yourself, what would you be doing if no one was watching and you weren't being paid? And if makeup was the answer, you're 90% there. You've also then got to go and assist, trying to assist makeup artists that are doing what you want to do, because that's the key. You know, trying to do it on your own and just through your social media and whatever, you're now putting yourself up against 500,000 other people. The trick is to find your dying candles or your kabukis and try and get an assist. And assisting, getting in is not as hard as you think, because to be honest, not many people want to do it for free, but you have to do it for free. And you've also got to remember, artists don't get paid a lot in fashion world. You know, a lot of the editorial work I do, we don't actually even get paid for. It's something that we do to put our art out there. So you've got to be not about the money. Of course, somehow support yourself, whether it's part-time work, whatever, but assisting is your way in and being the best makeup artist you can possibly be. And I mean that is doing makeup on someone who's 18 and 80. You have to be able to do someone, you know, who's age of Jane Fonda. You have to be able to do a Sudanese girl to an albino alabaster skin. You know, you've got to be able to work brilliantly on an Asian eye shape to a hooded eye shape to a small eye to an eye. You, there's so much to the craft, and so you've got to be really good at what you do. You've got to assist someone and not be about the money, and also be very careful of the images you put out to the world of Instagram, because you are telling the world that you want to be part of the elite makeup artists that get to do the best of the best work. So that means you have to have exquisite taste. And the last thing I would say is, when you're putting images out there to the world, make sure they're attractive to women, not men, because women is who we are selling to, 99% of the magazines you work for, the celebrities you work for, and just try and keep a beauty element in it. The best way I explain it is Victoria's Secret. Here's a brand that's all about sexy women in lingerie, yet 99% of people who enter a Victoria's Secret store or buy their lingerie are women. They're very, very clever because they keep the makeup and aesthetic beautiful. And the last thing I'll say, you've got to know who your clients are. So if you want to work in fashion like I do, 99% of our clients are red carpet. They are Vogue, Harper's, Marie Claire, Cleo, Cosmo, singers, like actresses like Nicole Kidman, blah, 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 blah. You've got to ask yourself, what do those women want to look like and what does that makeup look like? And no, it's not body paint, which amazing but different aesthetic. It's not glitter with this, with that, with, you know, it's about what you don't do with makeup that's as powerful as what you do. Sometimes putting the most beautiful face on Instagram with no makeup on tells me more about you than what your make what I mean by that is when you, I give you a great example. The man who taught me makeup, Richard Shara, he's got a famous picture that he did, and it's Kate Moss, and he said to me that he'd put no makeup on her face. And that was his photo on his comp card and on his website. Well, actually, it wasn't a website back then, but that's his one photo that made him famous. And I said to him, Richard, but how did you become famous as a makeup artist? There's no makeup on it. And he said, no, Ray, you're missing the point. I'm showing the world what I believe perfection is and what I believe beautiful is. And I went, wow, there was so much in that. So as a makeup artist, you know, you want to put out there what you think beautiful is, and that's a really – does that make sense what I'm saying? So it's sometimes it's better to put out the most beautiful skin. Like people say, oh, but her skin was like that anyway. How can you put that in your portfolio? Her skin was, she's only 18 and she's Russian. I'm like, no, what I'm saying is I think this is what perfect skin should look like. And that's what clients and actresses and magazines are drawn to, people who understand perfection and taste and aesthetics. So I hope that helps a little bit, but it's all about your taste and doing things, not worrying about who's watching and how much you're getting paid.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And last question, what is
my
definition?
My definition, okay, changes every day. What I find beautiful today, I think I've got multiple personality. I mean, I'd love to say, oh, it's all about the inside and the kindness and the heart, you know, but I always say, as that saying goes, but a little bit of foundation also helps. That's a question I always say I can never answer, because I see the most beautiful makeup on people who are not kind and they're not beautiful. I see makeup I think could be pretty awful, but the woman's so divine, I think she's the most beautiful thing I've ever met. I mean, beauty's in the way someone speaks to you. It's in the way, you know what I know? Beauty is the way, here's one, beauty is in the way you treat staff, waitresses at a restaurant. I learned so much about people by watching how they treat staff at a restaurant. And that can, so yes, it's a really tricky question for me, because it's not, makeup's a very small part of it. Sometimes no makeup is beautiful. If you ask me this question tomorrow, I'll have a completely different answer.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
It's in the way you Absolutely. Treat the hired help.
Mm.
Yep.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right, girls. Well, look, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. And I will definitely be seeing you at IMAX, so you make sure you come on down and you say hi. You'll see me with the heat out in the corner.
We definitely will.
I'll probably light my own fire at my stand around the fire. That's where I'll be.
Okay.
Oh,
thank
I
you
love
so
that
much.
Place. All right. Oh, thanks, girls. And thank you so much for having. And if you have any questions that you want to email me, we can do like a live Facebook thing, whatever that I've got techie people that can help me sort that out. But if someone wants to ask me some questions or stuff, maybe we can do something like a little live online chat or whatever that is. Help me out.
That will be wonderful. or a tweet chat or something.
All right, Denise. Yeah. Whatever okay. that chat is, all those chat things that we have. That I don't know that I get my 18-year-old techie kid to sort about, because I don't even know what it means. Do you know, I thought the latest update on the laptop was called Yosemite, and I was upset. I said to my husband, how come I don't have OXS Yosemite on my laptop? And he just looked at me and just walked away. How do you say it, babe? You said to me? Yosemite. I thought it was Yosemite because we have Vegemite here, so I thought it was a version of Vegemite. Okay, I should stop this conversation right now before I destroy my image. All right, girls. We've got to go.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, guys, for those of you who got back on the line. We had our little difficulty area earlier. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you to those
who I still see on the line.
Hi.
Thank you. Again, we were speaking with Australian makeup artist Ray Morris, and I thank her. I think it's in the
afternoon over there, like maybe around a little after 2 now over there. So it worked out. It's actually Monday already over there, and it's like in the afternoon where she is. So a big thank you to Ray Morris as well. We'll be back next Sunday night, 9 p.m. next Sunday. We had to change the show to 9:30 this week, but we're 9 p.m. next Sunday night. And, yeah, we'll be back with another guest, so stay tuned for that. You have anything you want to say before we leave?
Be sure to follow us on Instagram. We're beauty_talk_media. Excuse me. On Twitter, we're beauty_talk. And on Facebook, we're Beauty Talk Online Radio. So be sure to follow us on those social media platforms.
All right. So a big thank you to everyone who's listening right now. And for those who will listen on the playback, thank you very much for your continued support. And we'll be back again next week. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.